Okay, everybody, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for September 17th, 2014. Can I have the roll call, please?
Bennett?
Here.
Burt? Kapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. We have the minutes from the last meeting. Have those been reviewed? And can I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to move approval of the minutes of the August 20th meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of our meeting on August 20th, 2014. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, so again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for the City of Bettendorf, September 17th, 2014. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters of rezoning, final plats, development plans, site plans, and the such. So, seeing a crowd in the audience tonight, I'm glad to have you here. Thank you for coming. If you have comments on a particular case, at the appropriate time, I will signal you, and if you will give us your comments at the podium on my right and your left back there and state your name and interest in the case, we would be more than happy to hear from you. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first case tonight that we have is in regards to a rezoning right here along State Street. You've got 35th right here and 31st here. Parcel is zoned R4 and C4, surrounding area adjoining to the east of C4, to the west C3, and then you have this area up in here, which is all R4. Parcel here is a sewer map indicating the utilities to the site. That's the parcel right there. The topo shows severe drop off. You do have a neighborhood up here, but there is no connection to this area. There's a very severe drop here. And then you have an adjoining area here that's used already for paint sales. And then you have a restaurant right here. The rest of this area here is R4, as I mentioned earlier. And then we have this area here being R4, that area being C4. The petitioner wishes to zone this to C3 to place a roofing business here with a potential contractor's yard. There's a house here, and they want to use that as an example of some of their products. And then they're refurbing the house for an office. And there's a potential in the future for this area here to be used for business expansion. Staff, in looking at this proposal, recommended approval, and they recommend approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Greg, I have a question. Use the term business expansion for the area where you have the big blue dot on the screen right now. Do you have any information that could expand a little bit on what does that mean?
It might be used as an area for storage of materials for the roofing business. And, you know, as a contractor's yard is permitted in this area, it's comparable to what else is also within the area. We do have, I go back here, Himes Tree Service, which is located right here, which in many regards is very similar. It was a C4 zoning at one time. Now it is C3, that parcel is. And we liken it in that regard to that, except it'll probably be less intense than that business. So it's almost the same. It's the same circumstances, as it were, for rezoning, except this business we probably would see as less intense than the Himes Tree Service.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
In my visiting with the property owners, the reason they're talking, Greg referred to as business expansion, they're going to use the existing house as their office, and they're going to put up a building to store materials and their vehicles. So it will be associated directly with the business that they're operating.
Okay. Did you finish with yours?
Yes.
Greg, so then, so I'm clear, is the proposal to change the entire parcel to C3?
Yes. Not okay. Not this area here, but below the red line.
Okay, so, but the parcel involves all the way up to the
This is...
To the north.
They've given us a zoning description that we'll be using this area here for the rezoning only.
Okay. And really, for the continuity, what Bill was just talking about, they'll be utilizing those two. Is that green line that's there?
That's designating that this is down here is the C4 and this is the R4.
Okay.
Currently.
Okay. Because I was a little concerned that it was going to be C3 for the entire parcel, but it's not, so. And is that currently in use, Greg?
The house, I believe, is up for sale.
Okay.
I guess I'm looking at the entire parcel. If we make the change on only the portion below the red line, how does that impact the remainder of the parcel for any future usage or?
It's almost, the problem with this site is that the contours here, this is just a straight downhill run.
Steve.
There's almost, unless you put up a retaining wall, there's almost no use for this area back here. I've been out here before, walked this area and looked here because some people wanted to know if there could be a roadway stubbed through like this to Pius Lane from, I think, Central Lane, or I can't remember the exact name. But this is very rugged, and you do have a ravine that runs through part of this as well, I think, through this area. It almost has no use.
Okay.
Any other questions on the part of the commission?
I just have one question. Greg, the adjoining property is a C3 on, what would that be, the west side?
Right here.
Yeah, that's C3. And that would be then the same?
This is C4 right here.
Okay, so we're at...
This is C3 right here.
Thank you.
No other further questions from the commission? Is there anyone in the audience tonight that would like to give us input with regard to this case? Seeing none. Oh, yes, ma'am. Would you go back to the podium back there where we can pick you up on the mic, please, and then state your name and interest in the case?
My name is Rhiannon Tucker, and I am employed with Green Valley. We are the ones that are hoping that this will work out. It was stated that the house might be for sale, and it's actually not. We purchased the property, and that's why we would like to rezone it from C4 to C3.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you had any. I showed up just a couple minutes late, so I didn't know if there was any questions for me or something I needed to do.
No, I think that was probably in regard to whether it was currently in use or not in use.
It's currently being renovated.
Okay.
It's a really old home, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done to it.
Okay, great. Thanks for the clarification. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I'd come back to the commission for a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 14072, subject to staff recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14072, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 14072 is passed. Right.
Mr. Chairman, the second case is a rezoning of an area that has seen a great deal of development recently. This is 53rd Avenue right here. 53rd terminates here, and we have Allison Drive going up into Century Heights 20th Edition. The area outlined here in maroon is the area intended by the petitioner, Mr. Walters, to be rezoned from A1 to R1. And this area, as you've seen, it's been an outgrowth of nothing but R1 out in this area for quite a while. The remaining areas further to the east are still all under A1 zoning. The petitioner would like to rezone this area outlined here in the legal description to R1 for single family housing. As part of that, he has given us a concept plan showing the connection from Allison over here, and that this drive will come down to Pigeon Creek Trail, creating the circulation that the city has been looking for some time, so that this will circulate back and then eventually back down to Crow Creek Road. As you can see that he wants to build this area out here. The area outlined in white is the rezoning area. So this is the area that we're looking at in terms of the concept, are these lots that are going to cul-de-sac here, and then there'll be a connection here down to Pigeon Creek Trail, and then eventually another cul-de-sac built out to here in this area, potentially being included in a future rezoning request. Staff, in looking at the proposal, recommended approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? Ann.
Can you go back to the previous picture that had the lot? One more. The three lots that are on Allison also have a yes, those three lots. Those aren't part of what we're discussing, are
no.
they? Okay. And how will they be impacted by this change?
Or will the roadway
they?
Will be right about there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Greg, we're dealing with just a concept plan at this point, right?
Yes, the plat, okay. preliminary plat will be coming later, and we'll cross those issues when we come to them.
Okay, just a couple things to note when you're considering on that. I had, or will have, questions. What happens to those back lots above the A1 to R1? Are those outlots, or what will happen with those kind of on the other side of the creek?
Potentially, the developer is working right now, I believe, at the core to do something to remediate the way the creek meanders. As you can see, it meanders like this, to try to work on that, to try to make that straighter. And that's going to be one of the issues addressed. Of course, anything within the floodplain is going to be turned into an outlot.
Okay. And then just one other, sorry, thing I note, they've got a little berm at the entrance, sorry, proposed entrance, back on the one you just had, sorry, on the upper left of it, right there. Whenever, just a feedback for our street department, whenever I see those adjacent to a lot that you come in, you can't park next to those, and they become functionally frustrating. So I hate to see those adjacent to a lot as opposed to set out in an entryway. So it just makes tough for parking when we approve those. Hate to see any more of those if we have the opportunity. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Wait, nobody's out there yet. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 14-073, subject to recommendations from staff.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-073, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 14-073 is passed. Okay. Greg?
The next item up, Mr. Chairman, is Spencer Hollow First Edition Final Plat. The area outlined here in the aerial photo in aqua shows you the boundaries of what is anticipated to be the first edition, with these areas here being outlots for stormwater detention and potentially other recreational purposes. You have right here Forest Grove Drive. That'll be the means of entry into this particular subdivision. Here's essentially what was already reviewed by Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council as the preliminary plat, and it shows basically the same outline that you're seeing for the final plat. These are the preliminary plat areas here, the means of entry, and then traffic circulation all the way through the subdivision. This is the final plat. Staff, in looking at this, would ask that this note, number three, be changed here, as that note essentially doesn't acknowledge the 30-foot setbacks all the way around. There will be staggered setbacks, which require that each of these units have a protruding or receding frontage of a ratio of 75% to 25%, so that it gives a non-uniform appearance throughout, because that's pretty much the intent with the 30-foot setbacks throughout this subdivision. Not the note here that refers to the older standard, which is to make these setbacks different. So they're each either 30, 35 feet or 40 feet within certain ratios. We'd also want the city engineer to approve any sanitary sewering design of this subdivision or certain parts of it, that lowest entry levels be placed on lots 31, 30, and 32, and that any other conditions listed in the report be regarded prior to city council approval, and we would ask for a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission given those conditions.
Could you back up just a minute? The ones you said, sorry, the last lots, 30, 31, what was the restriction or?
Right here, these lots yep. have a drainage easement going through them. Oh. And what we need to see is a lowest entry level for those lots. If water were to drain through during a 100-year event, we don't want any water getting into any windows.
All right, mm-hmm. great. And I'm sorry, you had taken us to the, you recommended at point
two. Approval.
Okay. Comments from the commission? No? I think I had one. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Last time this came in, and I had an adjacent homeowner approach me about the drainage that's going to impact potentially Nottingham. Can you advise me how the city has addressed that in our
I think review? Our assistant city engineer will have details on that.
Yeah, the engineer, McClure Engineering, had submitted calculations showing high water elevations. They went through all those calculations and determined that in a 100-year event that everything would stay below low entry elevations for those existing homes.
So, and I had heard reference that the current or the future, the proposed runoff will be at or below what it's currently experiencing today based on the way it's engineered.
That is correct.
Okay, and we did a double, Bill, I'd asked you about this, a kind of a double review, both belts and suspenders, if you will, to make sure we didn't have any issues there.
Yeah, the engineering department asked them to go over and shoot the properties adjacent.
Okay.
Which is usually above and beyond what's asked for.
Yeah, and thanks for doing that. I know that because that's a historical issue out there, so I'm glad we addressed that. So thanks. Anyone else in the commission? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case?
Good evening. My name is Greg Jager. I'm an attorney with the Pasternak firm, 300 block of West 3rd in Davenport, here tonight on behalf of the applicant. I just wanted to introduce Mike Genesek, the engineer for the project. He wanted to address the condition regarding the three interior lots that Greg mentioned a moment ago.
Okay.
Like Greg just introduced me, my name is Mike Janicek with McClure Engineering. And lots 30, 31, and 32, the city had requested low water entry elevations on those three lots, but those actually are not in a sump condition, so they're really, there's no drainage easement necessary in that area. There's to be no overland flow route between those lots. There's there's no sump on that center north-south road. A sump's a low point where all water would drain to. If the inlets could not keep up with the water, they would overflow and flow between lots in an overland flow route. There is no overland flow route in that area, so that has not been included on the plat or the plans. Just wanted to put that in the record. The only low point in our design is down at the southeast corner and at the northeast corner. And just wanted to point that out. I'd be happy to answer any drainage questions. As Brian mentioned earlier, we have presented all the detention calculations and have proven that there'll be equivalent or less flow to Sterling Woods to the east as they are currently experiencing. Thank you.
Long story short on that matter, I think there may have been some miscommunication between the engineers. I'm going to ask the engineers to talk to each other and get it settled down. If there is a drainage easement that's required, we're happy to provide it. We don't think that it's necessary, and we think staff will agree with us as soon as they have a chance to talk. But for your purposes, if it's necessary, yes, we'll put it in. We don't think it's necessary.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
I guess I would just say to that, we'd just like to, I guess, verify that and see a grading plan that would show that, and us to review that and go from there.
There were proposed easements between those lots, but it was just to get a sanitary sewer to the east side. And then there was a storm sewer through there, but because the inlets to the west are not at a low point, they're just on a continuous grade draining from north to south. If the storm sewer would get plugged or the inlets couldn't keep up, all that water would just continue to drain south and then east and get down to that southeast corner detention pond. There is low water entry elevations given for those two southeast corner lots. I can't see the numbers from here, but so we have provided it in all areas where the storm sewer inlets are in a sump condition.
Okay, that's fine. Like I say, just we'd like to see a plan, a final plan showing that, and absolutely, we'll review that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Yes, sir.
My name is Mark Robson. I'm one of the residents in Sterling Woods. And about 2 years ago, you surveyed the property directly to the west of our homes and staked it. Are those stakes an indication of where the property line for this new development exists? I think it was right after I'm assuming the city owns this property at this point?
We owned a portion of it at one point.
Okay, right after you purchased the property, a survey crew came out and staked the area behind our homes.
Okay.
And there still exists those stakes. And so the question is that the true property line between this development and our homes?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure as development starts to take place on the Spencer Hollow addition that there'll be stakes verified by McClure Engineering as to where property lines are.
Okay. Because they're awfully close, in fact, in some cases, in what we would consider our current backyards.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for you.
Okay. And then on this drawing, there is not any access to the new area from Sterling Woods. There was talk at one time at that short street after the second house of bringing that into the development, and that is no longer the case.
That is not. There was some elevation challenges of extending that through. And if you live out there in a subdivision, you can probably see why.
Okay. So, and at this point, this is just to approve the rezoning. It doesn't approve a plan to build at this point? Is that?
Well, this is the final plat.
Final plat.
Yeah.
The actual building lots that will be sold and houses will be built on each of those lots.
And what is the time frame for?
Developer is here, perhaps he can address that issue.
Hi, my name is Nick Kramer. I'm representing the developer Sagecliff, or Ben Green Land Development. Our timetable actually is as soon as we get the grading elevations approved, then we will proceed with the initial grading at this fall. We don't, depending on the weather, obviously in the winter, we don't plan on any pipe work yet this year, but if we have one of those wonderful El Nino winters, maybe that's a possibility. But we would like to get the grading done this fall yet.
Final question then, if you know the area, there's a pretty big wooded area between most of the homes in this development. Is their intention of leaving any of those trees up at this point, or is it to take it down all the way to the property line?
Our intention to leave is to leave as much of the existing trees, timber, and everything other than what we need for drainage and stormwater easements.
Okay, so when is that going to be finally determined, and when will we see what would be done to the properties directly up against us?
No, this is it. This is the plan of how the property gets developed. This is it. Individual properties don't come back in front of any of the regulatory bodies.
Okay, so, but you can't at this point in time tell the homeowners what's going to happen to the tree line properties directly between us in that area.
until we get on site, each individual lot, each individual tree, probably right not at this point, until we have the final grade determinations, which we are working on adjusting to our sewer elevations.
And each lot will be owned by a private individual, and they will decide what happens on their lot. Even if the developer says he wants to keep the trees, whoever buys the house has the opportunity to take the trees down if they so choose, if they're on their lot. Okay.
So how do we get a survey of this so that we could show it to, you know, our representatives to make sure that we agree with the property lines? Again,
I guess I don't understand that question.
Again, nobody could tell me whether the stakes that were put down represent the property lines that you believe to be your line at this point.
Our land surveyor, Jim Abbott, has performed all the surveying calculations. We've determined this to be the boundary, and once construction is complete, we'll set all the corners to every one of those lots, and then at that time, if you, I guess, dispute that line, we can look into it. But you know, this is what we're saying, where the property lines are based on found pin evidence in the field.
Okay, when are you going to do the staking of the area to confirm what you believe is to be the problem?
We will stake those pins once construction's completed. Sometimes we'll set some of the exterior pins once grading's done. We won't set any of the interior pins until all the infrastructure is in. So once all the street, sewer, water, underground's in, at that point we'll set permanent front pins. But the rear pins adjacent to your subdivision, it'd be up to the owner when he wants those set. But typically, it's not until he's going to start selling lots once the infrastructure is done. Sorry.
I might comment too. I mean, if you have concern about the location of your pins, I would recommend you hiring a surveying engineer to locate your pins. They are there. They are set. And that would be your best safeguard as far as locating your existing pins.
Okay.
All right, anyone else from the audience with regard to this case?
If I can make or ask one more question of the engineer.
Sure.
Mike, you had indicated, I thought you had said that there was going to be no easement between lots 31 and 32 that was removed from the plat. Is that correct?
There is. There's a sanitary sewer easement on one of them and a storm sewer easement between the other, but it's not for... it's not a drainage easement for overland flow, either of them. They're just, one of them was to run sanitary from the west to the east roadway. The other one was to run a storm sewer to the to one of the detention ponds.
Lot B?
Yes.
Okay.
And but it's not at a sag, it's not at a low point, so we won't.
No, I understood that. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't saying there was going to be no easement there.
There's definitely a storm.
You're just saying for drainage.
That's
that you would like that removed.
And
okay.
Because we don't need to have a low water entry elevation on those three lots. That's all I was trying to explain.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, staff would also like to add the condition that you do have in the report, but we want to emphasize that there's an additional 33 feet of right-of-way along Forest Grove Drive that the city needs to acquire. Right now, only 17 feet is shown. We need a total of 50 feet, and that's one of the conditions listed in the report, that additional 33 feet, giving us a total of 50 feet of right-of-way to be dedicated to the city, be part of this passage.
And Greg, does the current site plan accommodate?
This does not show it. It shows 17 feet. We mentioned in the report already that we need that additional 33 feet. We'd like to see the final plat before it goes to City Council to represent that is actually there on the plat, that the 50 feet, not the 17, is the actual amount for the width.
Just an explanation is the property goes to the center of Forest Grove Drive, so we just need to get that clarified.
So it doesn't require, say, lots 14 through 11 to be, or lot A to be shallow?
Well, not. I wanted to make that clear. It just needs to be the showing that the half of Forest Grove Avenue is deeded to the city.
So the site plan as presented still works?
Yes.
But we have
Except
to make
for the
sure it's
eastern or the southern edition.
Southern, yeah, right. Okay. Anyone else in the audience? No. Back to the commission. Would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 14-075, subject to recommendations from staff.
And as well as the indications on the record tonight.
The additional, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-075, subject to printed staff recommendations as well as discussions contained in the record tonight. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-075 passes, subject to the conditions. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next two cases are somewhat related, as one is a final plat, the other is a development plan. The area we're looking at is essentially going to become the villas at Glen Glebwin, fourth edition. You have Devil's Glen Road, 53rd Avenue right here. And Underridge Road right there. And Cabin Crossing entering in off of there. This is basically the last stage of what has been the villas at Glen Glebwin. This is what was originally proposed, mainly duplexes throughout this area. Here's the outlined area right here that we're discussing. This is the preliminary plat that initially was provided staff, and then the petitioner wanted to go to a PR overlay district. What we have is a mixture here, and this is showing somewhat the development plan for the area, where we do have some duplex development and the remaining area basically being detached duplex type units. Each is just basically a single family dwelling with a smaller lot than what normally would be allowed in the R3 district. That's why the petitioner has already asked for the R3 designation. This just shows you the topography around the area. The previous slide showed you the design that was intended for the layout of the structures. And of course, we have the regulations regarding the overlay district, and I think we've been through that a number of times. And then for your consideration is the final platted area showing those outlines of those lots as pictured here. Staff, in looking at both proposals, would recommend approval for both with the conditions listed in both reports. I would ask, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, may I add that there's a letter and some elevations at your place that is an integral part of the development plan, so if you could review those, and if you have any questions, please okay. ask.
And Lisa, you've got that for the record. We're good. Questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case?
Mr. Chairman, I just might ask a question quickly.
Yep.
This is the development plan and the final plat. Has there been any significant change from the preliminary plat?
Bill?
There has been. What you looked at before, I think, was maybe a concept plan showing lots with 5-foot side yards on each side. When this went to council, there was further discussion, and in discussions with the council, the staff, and the developer, he decided to combine a couple of these detached into attached, and now, as is stated in a development plan letter, that there'll be 15-foot side yards on the detached structures. Now, the attached structures will still follow the ordinance requirement of 5-foot on each side.
Thank you.
Greg, go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you. Greg Jager again on behalf of the applicant. Mr. Connors stole a lot of my thunder, so I appreciate his comments. You saw the development plan for Glen Glebwin 4th at the time of the request for the rezoning, and you approved that development plan in conjunction with the rezoning. The rezoning has now had all three readings in front of the council and has been approved. However, in discussions with staff and the council, and simply the way these have all progressed, is that we've become fairly convinced that you've got to have the 15-foot side yard setbacks if you're going to have single-family detached housing. So in order to make that happen in this subdivision, the developer had to take a couple of the single-family homes and make them into duplex housing. That would then give enough extra space to allow some changes on some of these lot lines to guarantee that each of the remaining parcels would all have the 15-foot side yard setbacks. The lot sizes and the configuration of the easements and the streets still the same. The real change is an accommodation to make it a 15-foot side yard setback as opposed to the more narrow that was originally planned and was originally approved by this body. The final plat then just mirrors the development plan.
Yep. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Seeing none, return to the commission for a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case, and I'm going to go the development plan first. I think that's 14-058, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-058, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-058 passes.
Mr. Chairman, I also move that we approve case 14-076, the final plat, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
That was a draw. Oh. Do it again. Okay, we have a motion in 2 seconds to approve case 14-076, and Lisa's going to figure out who that was. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-076 is approved, subject to staff recommendations. Okay. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case on our agenda involves the addition of a parking lot to the Heritage Church location along Middle Road, and you have Happy Joe Drive right here. We've got the parking lot proposed. Here's the existing structure, an existing parking lot. This is the new parking area, and then the use of an existing detention area to deal with stormwater runoff for this site. Currently, you can gain access to the parking lot area by coming down Happy Joe Drive and connecting to this drive and then going up to the parking lots up here, or you may access it by coming up here directly off Middle Road to the current parking that is above the level. The additional parking area will be right here. This is the area seen from the detention basin side. Your detention basin currently enters in here. You'll have an additional means of entry of stormwater to the locale. Essentially, we're looking at it right about in this area here for the additional parking lot. Detention here, this is the existing platted area, and the church currently sits on this lot. Design is here for the parking lot, and then the detention entering here, and then it will sheet flow from this point. It'll be dispersed so that the water may sheet flow through this area here as permitted. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would also indicate that at such time as a structure or additional parking may be built, but I believe it is maybe additional structure to the church, that there be a 4-foot sidewalk placed in this area. Because this is flat work, we don't feel that the sidewalk requirement needs to be constituted at this time. We recommend approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask if there are any questions.
Questions from the commission?
I'm a little bit confused by your last statement, Greg.
Too.
You have a recommendation that says a 4-foot wide sidewalk shall be required to be placed.
But yeah, we discussed it at staff level, and because we don't feel at this time that that's necessarily a requirement, because typically we want to see a structure there. We do that for homes and residential areas. Once the home is being built and the sidewalk goes in, we really don't have a structure being built.
Okay,
here.
So your item 6 here on your recommendations is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Craig, whose responsibility is it to maintain the private road?
That would be something that I believe would be within the covenants of this subdivision here. That is something that would be shared responsibility, I believe, between all of these lot owners, because they all have access to it, they all use it, it's an easement area.
Just in the one picture, you could put it up on the photograph, that one right there,
mm-hmm.
the top photograph, kind of if you look straight at that tree you see there.
Yeah, there's an area here that is scoured out.
It washes out. I mean, it becomes a river coming down that hill. I don't know if there's anything that can be addressed as part of that, but it ends up washing out in the street and makes kind of a mess over there, but just something I noticed when looking at it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? No. Okay. Back to the commission.
Chairman, I move that we approve case 14065, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 14065, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 14065 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, as a part of this case here, we'll have LeClaire Manufacturing site plan and then LeClaire Manufacturing Bettendorf Urban Renewal Plan. As Mr. Van Dyke will present that, these two will come together, be presented together as one item because they're related, and then we will go to item number 14-077 on the Falcon Avenue project. What we have here for LeClaire Manufacturing is an addition, as you see in purple here, that they intend to add to the building. We have an additional area here for stormwater that will collect stormwater coming this direction to compensate for what will be released in this area down this ditch line and then into an existing ditch line out on US 67. This is the entryway, and as you head back, you can see outlined in purple is the approximate area of the building addition. If you were looking from the west, this area here from the building shows that approximate outline of that a structure, that addition being placed, and there is a hut out here that would be removed, and a good two-thirds of that would be replaced with this structure. Here's the view again. If you're looking in, there's some landscape in the way here, but the addition will come out, and it will consume this area going all the way back to the existing line. Essentially, this is the existing structure right here, and that building will be built out this direction, except there will be a pathway that will be negotiated through here. As shown here, this will be the detention. We wanted to break this out and show you that there will be that structure to incorporate this runoff that is coming in from the north, and this is Valley Drive looking toward that detention area. These are the existing plats. It's an overlay basically of this lot and this one, and then this is a replat done lot two showing LeClaire Manufacturing first edition, and this is Zimmerman Industrial Park, the two lots that were originally platted. There will be a means of drive connection that will come through, with this area being sorted out now as parking. The fire department felt that there was the proper turning radius within this area, and there will be an exit out here so that there's circulation maintained for fire department vehicles. Also, I believe the fire department may have wanted an additional fire hydrant added to the site. The overall plan, though, does show that here is the means of entry, and the area outlined in aqua is the building addition. Currently, the building footprint comes up to this point here. So everything added here in aqua is going to be an additional building area. Most of this right now is in somewhat state of a compacted gravel, so it is in somewhat of a state of impervious surface at present. So you do see the overall direction of vehicular traffic for emergency vehicles going back out to Valley, the detention area here, the addition here, and then the existing building right here, with some additional parking being added in this area. Stormwater to be directed out along that ditch line and then back out toward this area. This is the treatment or the area, I should say, the elevation showing the way the structure will look and how it will blend in. This is a view, if you were looking directly coming in off of State Street, you'd see the docking area right here. The building structure as it extends out toward the west. And this is if you were looking from the west toward that building back toward the main structure for LeClaire Manufacturing. Staff reviewing the proposal here feels that it meets our city requirements with the conditions listed in the report. We recommend approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to abstain.
Okay, so noted. Questions from the commission?
Greg, I want to get a clarification. You made a comment. We can look at this slide. You talked about structure to accommodate runoff, and it looked like you were looking at the area between Valley Drive and that new fire access drive that's coming in there. I'm not sure I understood what you meant by that.
Detention pond, there will be a detention pond constructed here to take, and essentially what they're doing is the water that is already coming down here is not being detained in any way coming off site. They will detain that water that is coming off site toward this direction in that pond.
Okay.
Enough so that they will be able to offset any that they release from this structure here that would then find its way, they would direct it so that we'll go out this direction. So what they're doing is essentially math here is that they're taking and detaining enough here so that they might release this here out this direction so that there's an offset between what is retained and released, so it's a trade-off.
And that detention area releases to the east?
I believe it releases down here and then gradually, I believe it, if I'm correct, Brian, that it goes this direction. I believe it does release out at this point here and then that goes down to that ditch line.
It'd have to go around the building, yeah. And basically what Greg has said, they're just taking off-site drainage area and compensating for what they are picking up or the impervious area that they're adding as a result of the mm-hmm. building and parking lot.
Okay.
So.
All right. And then I had one other question. Is this the area of the new construction? Is it offsetting existing parking? And if so, how is that being picked up elsewhere?
We looked at the parking requirements and they listed out their shift employees and the maximum shift level. We ran the calculations and these parking spaces here meet those requirements as necessary for the entire area.
Okay. Thank you.
So is the requirement based on shift population rather than square
footage? It's based on the maximum number of employees that would be on that site at any one given time. And that's how we looked at what they gave us for that max number.
I didn't realize, Michael, I guess that it was based on a employee count rather than a square footage ratio.
No, for here it was employees. And machinery operated that is mobile.
But so, for example, if they sold the building, which I don't think they will, but they sold the building and the next user came in and he said he's got 50% more employees, he would need more parking.
And they have to figure out a different parking means.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions in the commission? Do they own that lot in the where the detention area is going? Sorry.
Oh, this area, yes, they own this.
All right. Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is John Shutter. And I am the adjacent property owner. I have about 20 acres that joins that. And in the year 2000, I had to get an attorney and a surveyor to calculate water calculations that came through this detention pond. And finally, Mr. Zimmerman agreed and put a detention pond in. I hope that your calculations will allow the property adjacent to that to drain properly. My engineer is supposed to be a 577.8 or lower. Could you tell me what your drainage is?
Mark?
In years ago, you know, in the past, nothing drained toward the road. It followed the bluff all the way down to the creeks for miles. And as years gone by, it's all been filled in. So everybody dikes the guy up the stream from him. And I'm afraid this is what happened. And now we're trying to run it down to the road and use that for the all the water drainage. We have Toro, they're filled. Clear to you know, the next creek miles there. That was a natural flow, you know, years ago when it was farm fields.
Okay.
But my concerns is this drainage, and another concern is I have two houses that adjoin this property, and we're getting a lot of pollution out of this plant, and a lot of smoke and carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide, whatever. And my one house, the elevation of it, I can see across the stacks. I'm that high. And there's 20, I have 20 more acres up on the bluff. And any development there isn't going to want to look at a stinking foundry down there. Are they going to use this for more just heat treat, or is this a processing plant? Or are they going to put in more ovens?
That I don't know. Is somebody from the company here can advise us what the use will be of the incremental space?
So,
so they won't put any more furnaces in? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Not
any other plants you will, though? Okay. Well, could you tell me what the elevation is of your drainage in?
The engineer's
right behind you there.
I'm at 5. I have my calculations here from my engineer. Hager.
Yeah, I'm Mark Harpole with Shive Hattery. And if I understood your question correctly, the outlet of this detention basin would be at 577.04.
The output?
Yes.
I'm at 577.8. I have to be lower than that.
Lower than your 577.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Seeing none, return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case 14-066, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve case 14-066, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-066 passes. Okay, Mr. Van Dyke.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and Commission. So piggybacking on this same project, LeClaire Manufacturing is obviously considering a significant expansion on Zimmerman Drive. To encourage that expansion, the city is considering the use of tax increment financing funds to assist. In order to do that, the facility must be located within an urban renewal area. To be in an urban renewal area, the law does require that an urban renewal plan be amended to allow for that. As an initial step, we must appear before this body, the Bettendorf Planning and Zoning Commission, for a recommendation. Just a couple of more numbers that, reiterating what Greg has indicated. It's a 40,000 square foot expansion, roughly a $3.5 million cost or assessed value, with 30 to 40 jobs added over a 3 to 5 year period. Staff supports the project and the request and asks that you recommend to our mayor and city council for the amendment of the urban renewal plan As Greg and others always say, glad to answer any and all questions.
Any questions from the commission? Seeing none.
Is the present site in the urban renewal, or is it, or adding is the addition, or what is?
We're going to do the whole
area.
Okay. And as you, I can't remember who's been around for how long, but perhaps Mr. Rafferty or Mr. Stoltenberg can remember, but quite a number of years ago, we were looking at doing the entire area between Valley and State, and we decided that there were some concerns, and so we decided that we, meaning all of us, decided that we would take each individual piece as the projects came forward, so giving the public more opportunity to express their needs. So that's why we're waiting for this one today.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the last one? Anyone in the audience have comments with regard to the case? Seeing none, I would return for a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 14-078.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-078, subject to the staff recommendations. Well, I guess we don't have staff recommendations, subject to Steve's recommendations.
Isn't that special?
Isn't that special?
It is.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Approved. Thank you, Mr. Van Dyke.
Thank you so much. We will add your minutes to all the future communication that takes place.
Great. Appreciate
Thank you.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the item before us now is case 14-077. The location of the proposed structure can be reached by coming in off of 53rd Avenue with a left-hand turn, or if you're going eastbound, right-hand turn to the lot here, which is lot 200 Mentals Commercial Park, second edition. You've got 18th Street right here with Falcon Avenue also being an access from that direction. This is the lot as it currently is shown. There is a buffer yard area that is 25 feet for landscaping throughout this subdivision for the adjoining properties to the south. And there are the various plat notes that are shown as a part of the plat for the people who wanting to know what still governs the site, and then there is a berm, landscaping berm required as part of plat note number 6 regarding this area and maintenance thereof by the individual lot owners as a buffer for that area, as an opaque buffer. This is the plan as submitted, showing a potential area for a restaurant here, an area here maybe potentially for retail, and then an office area here. Again, one gains the access to the particular development off of Falcon Avenue, and we have circulation here that meets our fire department standards. The parking meets our requirements for the site, and again we still have this 25-foot berm area here and here as well. The landscaping is required to be maintained for this area here. For this patio, a special use permit has been requested by the petitioner, and this project will not go forward in this state. If this is not approved, then this would have to be removed as part of the site plan. We will be seeing whether or not that is conducted. Last week, the Board of Adjustment was going to meet on this issue, but the meeting was postponed due to the lack of a quorum. So that meeting will occur tomorrow night at 5 o'clock in these same chambers. This gives you an outline of the boundary, essentially, as if you were looking from Frank's Pizza's parking lot and then looking toward the west. You see the landscaped area here. There were some trees approximately in this area, some vegetation that was removed. And this is essentially where the corner of this lot is, right here. And then you have these evergreens that are planted here along the western berm. You've got McDonald's here. This is the landscaping plan, again, with some trees that'll be interspersed here, as indicated by the petitioner, and then these trees that are planted within the interior. And here we have the detention basin area shown on there, as you did on the site plan. The building treatment will look like this for the elevations. And staff, in reviewing this, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Greg, then that note number six that you referred to on the plat, is what's currently along that west boundary, does that meet that requirement, or are changes needed there?
The requirements are met according to what was the standard, but the vegetation in these areas, whatever was there originally to maintain that opaque barrier, is the responsibility of the petitioner to see that it is maintained in perpetuity. And there was an area I did notice, at least when I went and walked the site, that there had been some brush or trees. I don't know who removed them, but we do require that that be maintained as an area so that the vegetation, the trees, grow in the way to maintain that opaque barrier.
So once this is completed, that barrier would be enhanced along the west?
The barrier along the western boundary is what it is. That is the actual, except for any dead trees that might be in there, they're going to be replaced. I believe the petitioner did indicate that there might be some that may be replaced that are dead along this boundary. Those are required to be replaced out. There are other trees that are already healthy that those are not required to be added to. The tree count as it was submitted originally for the landscape buffer is what controls essentially here. He's just showing, I think, that he was going to add, I believe, maybe two trees to replace those that were in need of replacement, and I think maybe this one here, if I recall correctly, but he can elaborate on that.
The other issue I have is no one in this room has any control over a quorum at the Board of Adjustment. It would have been much better if that had been addressed before it came before us. And I guess some of the questions I have are more related to that issue. With the patio, there can be a lot of different things that occur on a patio and at different times of the day. So, and that's not the issue that's before us, but that's definitely a concern. And
I think you can still ask the questions.
Okay. Well, and what's going into that restaurant isn't really the issue before us either, but if that's a Jimmy John's, the usage of the patio is different than if it's Heinz or another type of usage, and I think that could have an impact on the neighboring area. I was happy to see the patios on the front and not on the back, but I still think that's an issue for the surrounding people in that neighborhood. And if I were in that area, that would be a question that I would be inquiring about.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just have a question about the location of the building being immediately juxtaposed to the berm and how that vegetation is going to be maintained when it doesn't look like he even has access to that berm. He's got the cooler and the trash on one side, and it looks like it's hard up against the on the other side. I'd like to see how that will be maintained. Okay, and I think we have the developer approaching the podium, and I would add one footnote to that question too. While maybe you address that, a question parallel the trash you mentioned in the cooler, how will you access the trash container when there's a car parked there? So I think we have someone to address that.
Yeah, that's gonna work. My name is Mark Romer. I'm the developer. I guess I'll try to remember the questions that were asked. First, we'll address the trash. That will be dumped after 8 a.m. is what I've agreed to with the local neighbors. And what I'll do is, at that time, the restaurant that's going in, it's not a Jimmy John's, it's not a Pint's, it's not a Crust. It's going to be one of two things. It'll either be a gastropub that I'll develop, or there's a Mexican restaurant that's interested in going in as well. I'm not sure which way I'll go at this time. But we'll have direct access because the restaurant will more than likely only be open at the earliest 11 on Friday and Saturday, if it's my development, and not open in the afternoons at this time. I'm not guaranteeing that, but it's like Crust or Red Crow. We open 4 or 5 or something like that. Maintaining the berm. On the back of the building, we actually have a sidewalk there. So that the trash and the cooler is actually off, and I tried to get a change. Yeah, we'll have access. We'll walk around the trash and cooler to get there. As I've talked to the neighbors as well, we'll maintain. It's sort of interesting. I'm working a deal out with the local neighbors there, well, where I'm going to put up a fence as well for a berm. And then I'm going to allow them to maintain some of that land because they asked me to. And I said that's fine. And then so the fence will go up at the highest point possible so it looks like their backyards are actually bigger. So it benefits everybody. And I'm just trying to be a good neighbor. The patio on the front, originally I had the design flip-flopped. And then after talking to neighbors and other people, I switched it so I could get the patio at the furthest point possible from any residential homes. What was the other question?
Well, that answered the one question, but it brought another question.
Oh, less is more.
Was there any thought given to moving the building out away from the berm?
Then we have an issue with parking. I think we would lose the spaces there, if I'm correct, Bill. We don't have the proper dimensions. As you know, land up there is not cheap, and to maximize the space, that's the best location for it. My lawn care people will take care of it, and we'll maintain it, and I'll work with the neighbors. Really, it sounds like they want to take care of it more than I do, and that's fine.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear from the neighbors here in a few minutes. My point or my thought was you have a detention basin up there along the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's prime. I'm not a developer, but I think that would be something you could perhaps move to the south end of the lot and increase the buffer area that you have for the people behind you. To be honest with you, if I was in, and I shouldn't be saying this because we haven't heard anything yet, but having a building that close to the property lines of the homes right behind you is something that doesn't show a whole lot of sensitivity, in my opinion.
Any other questions?
That's it for me.
Is it my understanding the with regard to the restaurant, it's going to be primarily a restaurant that I would assume happens to serve alcohol as opposed to vice versa? It's not going to be a bar that happens to serve food.
Yeah, the goal is probably 60% food, 40% alcohol. Okay. It'll be similar to Crust or Governor's or something like that.
And then in terms of hours of operation, I mean, is it going to be open till 2 a.m. or are you, you know, is it going to be once the people that are interested in having dinner are gone, it's closing at 11 or something?
No, it wouldn't close. If people are there, we'll serve. If we get the right to stay open, like Crust on a Friday or Saturday night, people aren't outside, they're inside, and people are there until 1 or 1:30, depending on the customer.
I understand your point on the location of the building. I'm just not sure there's a functional way to make parking work in the triangle up at the top.
I don't think it's our responsibility to worry about how they make it work. I think we have to point out what we think are problems with the site or the site plan or the development plan as it's presented. And I think if you look at what Frank's is, if you go back to the photograph, the aerial photo, and if you see where Frank's is pushed out away from the berm. There's a separation there. There's parking, et cetera, behind the building. If you look at those homes right there in the corner, and imagine that you've got another building right about where the tree shadows are. You can see how that is going to be really hindering the property, I think, impacting the property values of those people sitting right there. And I think it's up to this board to make a decision that does not influence that way, provide an influence for the people behind them that they're actually going to suffer because they've got a building that close to them. I think we need to have that pushed farther out. And I think with some creativity, that can be done. You've got a detention pond, you've got a patio. I mean, these are all things that can be used, I think, to soften the impact of the building on the neighborhood. I think that's something that should be done.
Any comment back on that?
Not really, no. I mean, I did have it drawn out at that way, or where we did pull it away a bit at one time because I was going to put a drive-through on one side for a, you know, a Dunkin' Donut or whatever, and then I thought the pushback would be worse there. But yeah, it's a no-win situation in this area. It's just a tough spot to develop, as you guys know, and it's been sitting there dormant for quite a few years. I went to all the meetings with the McDonald's group and watched the whole fiasco take place, and I tried to be proactive, inviting people to talk to them and get their opinion. And at the meeting we had at Crest a week ago, we really had no pushback on this, to be honest with you.
In my opinion on the, with it being so close to the berm, I guess I look at it that the neighbors, it's better for the neighbors not to have traffic back there and cars parking, which is what Frank's Pizza has. And I'm sure, and then that tends to be the place where people get together and loiter at times when the businesses are not open. So I think they're taking away from that, from the people, the
try to limit that, the commotion back there.
The public traffic back there, which
it's
at times
the better of two evils is what it is. And at the meeting we had at Crest, you know, they asked where their back doors. We are going to have a back door. We're going to have a sidewalk there, but we're going to try to limit it as much as possible. On the west end, actually, it's going to be flipped around. There's going to be an office space that will take up 3,500 square feet, and then there will be one more. Yeah, on the west end. And actually, there will be one more space in the middle. So the office space is pretty much done at 5 o'clock. So that area that's closest to the residential people there should have really no action after 5. So, that's one reason why I switched it to minimize it as much as possible. And I know there have been other businesses across 18th that have had issues going forward with this because of the disturbance of the parking behind there. I thought this would be less, and I think with the added trees that I'm putting in and the fence at the highest point, I mean, we're going to try to hide it as best as possible. And the limited lights, you can see on the islands up there, we've got two lights. They're both facing in, and they're down, and they're going to be, I don't know if they're LED or what, but we're going to do the best we can to limit that as well. We won't have a neon sign flashing. We won't have big arches or anything. It'll be done tastefully.
Anyone else in the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
I'm Dave Bernchen. I live at 5177 Dove Court. And we had a lot of fun about 3 years ago now, in March and June of 2011. And before I discuss this, there's one thing I should have said a long time ago, and I didn't. And that is, I believe the five commissioners to the left, I don't know if I have the names right here, I have the pictures, if I screw up the names, Commissioners Bennett, Stoltenberg, Rafferty and Winland and Kepler. You guys did a great job. It was a tough time in 2011. Things heat, you know, they're pretty contentious. We're heated up for a while. And there were some people who were questioning the competence of this commission and calling us names as neighbors out there. And a lot of others at City Hall wouldn't listen to the residents. Well, they would listen to us for hours and hours and then make a decision in 27 seconds one time. But because of your persistence and perseverance and professionalism, it was rejected in the site plan for McDonald's, I believe, was rejected in March. And they went away and came back with a much better site plan. So if you want to know how it is today, because of your hard work and perseverance and being patient and having us all meet again, McDonald's and the neighbors, it's been a win-win draw, like I've told Bill. It's been a win-win draw. I think McDonald's got their restaurant. The city increased their tax base. I'm not going to say we won because we wanted it there. But moving things toward 53rd Street, the Squawk boxes, the drive-thrus, and all that stuff. So I appreciate the fact that you listened to us, you asked good questions, and after thoughtful deliberation, you rejected the first plan. And we were able to compromise and come back with a better plan that I think is good for the community as a whole. So you five that are still around, I just want to say thank you for your work back then. And I'm the guy who stutters, so please be patient with me as I go through this. And Pete, you know, if I spit out a word, I apologize. I know. You know, I take a person at his word until I'm proven otherwise. Yeah, nice meeting last week. And I take Mark at his word. A couple questions I have is the closing time, especially if there's alcohol involved. And if that could be 2 a.m. on a Tuesday school night. Now, 40 years ago, when I was younger, I closed down a bar or two. And usually you sit around the parking lot, you congregate for a bit, and you know, you had a little to drink, and maybe your voice goes up a bit, and you decide where to go for breakfast at 3 a.m., Perkins or Denny's. So there can be some noise at that time of night. And I think the hours during the week, in combination with alcohol, is a concern. So that would be one thing that, you know, Mark talked about what time the trash would come. They'd be open for lunch, maybe close down during the afternoons, start up again and serve the people until they leave. And a liquor license will let them do that till 2 a.m. And I know there can be a stipulation put on the patio, because the Board of Adjustments did that for the crust, as to how late they can be out there. But I think a concern a lot of us have is just how late can they sit and drink during weeknights especially. The other thing, so the hours of operation are a concern. And then I'm just going to, this came up kind of fast, so I got my 2011 notes from McDonald's, because a lot of the things are the same. And they all go back to that section or chapter 18, Appendix B of the code, where it talks about the buffering, the buffer yards, the screening, and all of that stuff. And so I printed them off just to highlight what we talked about and some of the concerns that you had back then. Mr. Wendland, I remember you asked how high the proposed fence would be. Mr. Rafferty, I think you talked about it too. And I think in the end, everybody kind of said, well, we should look to the east. And it should be as high as Frank's has. Mm-hmm. He has about a 12 to 13 foot thing. His fence is on top of the berm. So I think the buffering and the opaqueness of it is a big concern. And Greg, I don't know if you can show the picture of the site again, but as far as some of the trees go, on the west, and that'd be me, on the west with McDonald's next to me and now this, those evergreens aren't as mature as all the other trees on the berm. As you can see, they don't look nearly as big. You can barely see them. Because they've only been there for 8 years, Greg? No, 7 years. They were cut down about 7 years ago, the trees that were there and had been there for several years. So they're not as big. There is, it's not opaque, let me put it that way. And the trees don't cover the berm as well as on other parts of it. So I would like to see more trees or more opaqueness put in there. And I remember Mr. Mead from McDonald's was here and he expressed a willingness to restrict the hours of operation if necessary at McDonald's. Now I think only the drive-thru is open 24 hours a day, and that fronts 53rd. And like I said, it's turned out to be a win-win draw type of deal. Mr. Rafferty, you expressed concern at the time about the intense use on the residential lots that are adjacent, the impact of the intense use of the residential lots that are adjacent to it. And then Mr. Wendland chimed in and suggested that we defer the request until revisions could be made. And that took place. And we wanted a better landscape plan. And I think we ended up with an okay deal out of it all. Like I say, I think it could have been much worse. Some of the concerns that came up at that time, and I'll be done, decline in property values. Another big concern, and you're well aware of this from what's going on Lindenwood and the other side of 18th, east of 18th, is public safety and crime because of another establishment over there. And I remember in section 18, there's a section in there that says when you put low intensity next to high intensity, that the people on the high intensity are held to a higher level. The bar is raised a bit in terms of buffering, buffer yards, screening. I've got several places in here I could read with you, but I know you've got the code. And whenever high intensity is next to low intensity, there is, you know, you got to err on the side of caution and protect the people in the low intensity district. We're concerned about noise, traffic, smell, and rodents. Those were concerns that we had in April of 2011. And I think some of them concerns are still here today. And I hope that you'll take all this stuff into consideration as you consider this, and that you know, all of us together can come up with something that will work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dave, before you go, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure. There?
So from your perspective, and I don't know if you're representing yourself individually or spokesman for the neighborhood, but give me kind of a straight feedback on your, and you've sort of done it, but your level of acceptability of what's being proposed on the site plan. I'm hearing you say it's not adequate, but maybe more specifically, what would make it adequate?
Well, you know, there's about three homes, maybe, that are impacted by this. Six homes, excuse me, Dove Court and Lindenwood. And it would just be wrong of me to comment for the other people. We've talked. I think we think a lot alike. But my own personal feeling is that, you know, I like you guys, but I'm, you know, I'd kind of like to see this come to an end at some point. Have something nice go back in there. And, you know, so we don't have to come down here and you don't have to listen to us. And we can develop that land. And I'm all for somebody in a free democracy making some money, you know. I'm concerned about, like I say, the trees behind me, that it will be opaque, that the fence will be similar to Frank's. But I think the biggest concern I really do have is a lot of families are out there with younger kids. And the hours of operation combined with alcohol is a major concern, especially in light of, this isn't news to anyone, I looked up the minutes for the two special use permits for outside seating at the other establishment.
Yeah,
and there were 161 phone calls, somebody checked the police records, you know. So I don't think Bettendorf wants to, and we don't want to, I don't think anyone wants to see that kind of trouble again. So we don't know at this point what we're getting, a crust or a clubhouse. And I think that's weighing heavily on our minds.
Sure.
The safety, the morals, there's a part in there in the Board of Adjustments thing and other places where the city has to make sure, even if this was a bad decision in 1992, to make our C5 or from C5 to R2 and not make the C2 behind us C5, so that just the C2 on fronting 53rd would stay that way. In spite of all that, I think the city has an obligation to protect the citizens. Not just the property values, but the safety.
And we can address that in certain aspects from this commission in a recommending fashion, Dave. But
yeah.
And one of your concerns that I noted was hours of operation, and that's something that's, correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, but outside the parameter of this body and also, I believe, the Board of Adjustment on hours of operation.
At this point, yes.
Okay.
So the Board of Adjustment, when they stipulated a condition, I guess you call it, for the crust, that the outside patio would be closed at 9 o'clock on Monday through Thursday.
And that would be part of the special use permit.
Right.
They have the patio.
What I'm asking is there any similar type of condition, whether it's the Board of Adjustment, the council, the state of Iowa, that can condition the hours of operation and when alcohol can be served inside as well?
If this were a rezoning, there's conditional rezoning that the city has the option to do, but this isn't a rezoning. The zoning's not changing, so that's not really at our disposal at this point.
Am I correct in saying that the only way that we could stipulate was with the written agreement from the owner prior to any decision?
Correct.
So is that saying it's possible?
I guess that says it's possible.
Yeah. Well, like I say, you know, I think you heard Mark, and we heard a lot of it last week too, and I'm hoping that we can reach some type of compromise. Like I say, I'd be willing to settle for a win-win draw again. You know,
Dave, have you been party to meetings with the developer about this development?
I don't think particularly about this in specific thing, the hours of operation, the closing time. But we've met and discussed quite a bit of things. And, you know, I think there's just a few things to tidy up. I don't think it's as messy as it was 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, appreciate your comments.
You know,
we'll hear from some of the other. I think
thank you very much.
Thank you. One other person. Dave,
Mark, can I respond real briefly? As far as Dave, as far as those trees, I will. Well, the fence will obviously buffer more, but I do have trees added in that area, and I thought we spoke about that. But I'll take care of that. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take care of that. I guess I'm not familiar with. It sounds like I'm putting in a terrible spot. I don't understand why it's going to be a negative for the area. This is zoned for what I want to do. It just, I didn't know if you were, you said there were 161 calls. You couldn't have been referring to Crust. Oh, okay. Well, that's a whole other battle.
Because, you know, a lot of times these special use permits and other things, the city staff will make comparisons so that they can say it's similar. It's an armory.
Sure.
And in the special use permit for the Crust and what you're proposing here,
mm-hmm.
you know, they compare to like Charms Boutique in some instances. McDonald's went in and they were compared to Charms Boutique, or Governors, or Harrington's, which do not have parking behind it. And conveniently, I don't know if it's conveniently, I don't believe it's intentional, but Clubhouse was not mentioned, and when you go out there, if you turn east on 18 or west on 18, the Lindenwood, the same setup is there. You got R2 and C2.
Mm-hmm.
So what these people on the east side have made 161 phone calls about the clubhouse. Essentially, I'm just saying the lay of the land
mm-hmm.
is the same.
Absolutely.
It's a better comparison. Okay. Governors, which is not R2 and C2 combined. And like I said, you'd see the fence, you'd see the burn on the east end of Lindenwood, just like you would the west. You'd see the same identical type of setup. And I don't believe, I can't believe City Hall or very pleased some of that has turned out.
Yep.
And I don't think I'd like to see that repeated. And that's why I said at this point, we don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and quite frankly, if I don't get approved for a loan for the interior aspect, I don't know what's going to go in there either. I mean, you know, my goal will be to lease the space. And then at that point, I don't know what's going to go in that restaurant space. And then that person will come and they'll fight an argument. They may not be as lenient as I'm trying to be. So my goal is to put in a gastropub, which would be a similar atmosphere as Crust, or not as nice as Red Crow, but it's not going to be a young hangout. It's not going to be a clubhouse. I enjoy going to the clubhouse myself, but it's not going to be like that. I don't, one reason why that, you know, we did push it back, like we said, that Ms. Peters brought to my attention, we don't want people hanging out back there. That's where the majority of the calls came from, the clubhouse, is what I was told. So we did push it back that way. You know, it's the lesser of the two evils. You know, I said I would put in more trees. That's in our landscape deal. And then there was some other question that you asked. I think that was it. But, you know, it's going to be a good addition. And I think I think you people will be happy, which we talked about, and I'm going to work with you on the berm and the not the access, but you taking care of it to make your backyards look nice. And my goal is to be a good neighbor and have a decent development. So.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else from the audience with regard to the case? Yes, sir.
My name is Todd Cahalan. I reside at 2214 Lindenwood, which is directly south of the property. And I just didn't want to leave Dave as the only one up here. He expressed our feelings perfectly. A few things that I had also was about the fence density. And I guess we always go back to the Frank's Pizza. And that's it's the height and the density that you can't see through. I believe the one behind, say, the clubhouse is a alternating in out, that still gives you some the sound not will be able to travel through more easily. And I guess continuing on the fence, I believe that the property behind the strip malls of the Crest and everything, that fence goes complete from street to street, I believe. If you look at that property and it's not any of Mark's, I wouldn't expect him to do anything, or I don't, something, or the city, but, or I'm not sure what the city can do, but the fence ends at the east end of the yellow line, and then those people, you know, like say the police went to the clubhouse, I mean, those kids have nowhere to exit really, but if the somebody came or whatever, they could exit right through the yards, right next to our property, through the yard, into Lindenwood and out, or else they could, if they got overflow parking, you know, if it's going to be as busy as Mark hopes, you know, will they park on Lindenwood, walk through right next to our property, around the corner and in? I think the sound will go around the corner, especially the trash is right on the corner, the sound will go right south around. That was just because we have the property directly below that. That was just not really sure what's going to happen with the property between Mark's and Frank's Pizza. So that was something to talk about. And then I noticed the whole property looks like it's going to sheet drain to the detention pond on the north side. And so I was just kind of concerned that the berms seem to go higher to lower from east to west. And so part of that is I'm not sure how much fill they're going to have to bring in. And I realize that the berm will keep the water from coming our way, but just wonder how high the maybe the how much dirt is going to have to be brought in to make sure that stays that way. So that was just a question. I think that was it. And also the hours of operation all goes back to the you know, the people running around or getting to and from the property through our property and through our yards. So I just wanted to second what Dave was saying. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And again, for anyone in the audience or listening to this between today and tomorrow, I would encourage them to go to the Board of Adjustment meeting and communicate their concerns, because I understand that the Board of Adjustment would have the ability to limit in the approval the hours of operation for the patio. So the portion of it that could be addressed would be the patio portion, not anything that happens inside the building. Am I saying that correctly?
Absent an agreement.
Which, from a practical standpoint, when you don't know who your tenant is, can't happen either. So, but again, the opportunity is with the Board of Adjustment, and we are a little backwards here, not having had that addressed before we dealt with the site plan, so we know whether or not the patio is there or not there. So and then I guess Mark, from the, we've heard the fence a couple of times, is there any way to reach an agreement on the type of construction of the fence then?
I'll copy Frank, so it'll be solid, there'll be all no right. gap there. And then, and I did say that, maybe I didn't convey that to Todd, but we'll match that fence, that's not a problem. The what was the fill will be brought, there'll be plenty of fill to take it out, which we talked about as well. And then there was one other question Todd had, and I didn't write it down.
Termination of the fence. Where does the fence stop?
Is it? The fence stops at the property line.
Right.
But the Englands were there, who owned the at our last meeting. They were there, who owned that lot. And if you remember, the son of Corey said he would continue the fence. Now I can't make him do that, and I told you guys, and I told them, but he verbally said that. You know, I'm trying to buy that lot right now, and. So I don't know what's going to happen. Ideally, if I buy it, then it would be exactly the same and there would be no issue. But at this time, Corey and his son, I don't remember his name, said that they would continue the fence along.
And that would have to be on their property line, which may not be where you're locating it if you're...
Well, we're going to try to make it all... It depends. I'll get these guys out there to take a look. We're going to try to make it as beneficial for them to increase... I'm not giving them the land. We're going to... My attorney will draw something up to say they can maintain it, but it still is my property. But we're going to try to, you know, line it up as best we can. And then Corey, after everybody left, said he would just continue it along where I go to, you know, not have another.
He's the owner?
Yeah, he's the owner of the property between Frank's.
Okay, good, good. Sounds like that's addressed then.
Yep.
Okay, appreciate it. Anyone else in the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm a little confused if we... if the special use permit is allowed, when he was talking about the other lot, then, you know, is that going to open the door for them to have a special patio, and then we have two of them right there? Or Mark opens and develops new restaurants in our community, but then he sells them too, so who's going to come in after him? So those are just some concerns I have. His ideas do sound good, but I think it opens the door for, and again, property values, children. I think it's more than what the neighbors thought when they bought their homes was going to be going in back there. And we would just really appreciate, you know, all of your professional concerns too. Thank you.
Sure, thanks. And again, the Board of Adjustment is the party that, or the entity that will address the patio use. And with regard to the adjacent properties that are undeveloped, that's the crystal ball. We won't know till someone decides that they've got an idea and comes to us with a site plan and a proposed use. So best we can with each one as it comes to us. Yes, ma'am.
My name's Julie Fan. I live at 2192 Lindenwood, which is directly behind that second portion of where that building's going to sit. And my concerns, I really appreciate Mr. Rafferty expressing concerns for who's going to take care of that landscaping, because currently we have a tree that was struck by lightning, and part of it fell north onto that lot, and it still has yet to be cleaned up. Part of it fell onto our neighbor Chris's fence and our landscaping back there. We ended up having to clean off that part to get it off of her fence, and so that it didn't kill our grass and our plants that we have back there. And the other third of that tree is, I'm sorry, it was three parts, and the other third of that tree is still standing there and has never been removed, as has the third that fell to the north. So my concern, I'm very concerned about who's going to take care of that. This developer is saying that he's going to let us take care of that, but who's to say that the next developer is going to maintain the same agreement? Another concern that I have is they're talking about taking that fence straight down the same height all the way down the property line or on top of that berm. We have mature, full trees that completely create an opaque area there for McDonald's. We cannot see McDonald's at all from our area. Those trees would have to be removed in order for that fence to go straight down the top of that berm, down the property, you know, down all the way to the behind the properties. And another concern that I have is this developer says that his hours of picking up the trash are going to be after 8 a.m. McDonald's, theirs normally is around 6 a.m., but however, we have heard it picked up at 4 a.m. before, and it's very noisy. It's creates a lot of noise, and it wakes you up, and there's a lot of banging. So I appreciate very much the people who spoke out for those issues to help support us and our property values. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you.
I may be confused, but I thought the fence was going up on my property line, and the trees that are full, are those trees on your property line? Okay, so they're on top of the berm. And that's where I said I'd be willing, if the trees are on top of the berm, we can put the fence on this side so you can utilize my trees, and then I can, you know, notch it out a little bit I could just keep it straight, and then Corey would have to eventually meet up with Frank's. He actually doesn't have to, but if he wants to, he can. And then that way we wouldn't be, the last thing I want to do is take down pine trees and put more pine trees up. Do you see what I mean? And as far as the one being hit with lightning, I didn't see that, and my maintenance person that mows it didn't tell me about that, but I'll talk to him next time I see him later in the week.
It's been at least 2 years.
It's probably dead by now.
The one where it is down.
Okay.
And we do have people who, kids mostly, who cross our lot to get to McDonald's.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Christy Zaskowski, and I live on 5200 Dove Court, the furthest house closest to McDonald's, right next to Dave. And probably the biggest concern we had with, well, we just moved here about a year ago. So we knew McDonald's was back there. But yeah, the sound from the trash definitely would be a concern for us with the new place because, yes, it's very loud from McDonald's. And it has happened at 5 a.m. I have a little baby who nurses early in the morning, so she has woken up with that. So the other thing I was thinking about was the light trespass. I don't know if there's an ordinance or anything that goes from one lot to another of the specific amount of foot candles and light trespass that can land on the land next to it. I don't know how tall the lights are going to be for the parking lot for this area, but that would be one of my concerns is the light trespass, especially obviously we're talking about how opaque the tree line and all that stuff will be with the tree line and the fence and stuff, but how tall the light poles would be and then how much light trespass would come into our yard as well as Dave's. And I'm just talking mostly to the west of the lot that we're talking about. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I can answer that, Mr. Chairman. And Dave, you can remember, we do have an ordinance as to how much light can filter from one property to the other because we had a little issue with McDonald's and we got them to correct that. So well, we did have a professional engineer come out and take light meter readings at various intervals all the way around the property. We found out that one set of light standards were in violation. It was directly behind Mr. Burchin's house. So we had them come in and readjust those lights, but everything else was in compliance with the ordinance.
Okay, anyone else from the audience?
To remember the discussion on the trash pickup on the McDonald's and an agreement that the trash would be picked up at a reasonable time. Is there some way we can protect the property owners?
I can make a telephone call. It's pretty hard for us I can call the owner and say, hey, do you recall? We'd have to look at the minutes, I guess, and see what the agreement was that was reached. But I'd be happy to do that.
Sorry. We did address the trash issue, and I think I can control that, to be honest with you. And I also told them, though, if they do hear it, I would give them an assistance number, not my number, so you can call them. But if you hammer them, you can pretty much take care of it, especially if you don't open. We don't have any business going on until at least 11. And the people that are doing the office, they're parking on the other side, so it'll be wide open and they can just wait. Or we find a different company to do it. It's not that complicated.
And then just in regard to your question, ma'am, that you had raised or concern about the agreements and whether subsequently sold and those kind of things, I guess my unofficial you get what you pay for cheap legal advice would be make sure it's recorded against the property so that it runs with the land. That's the way to protect your rights ongoing.
Regarding the maintenance,
the landscaping, anything that you agree to, if it's recorded on the property, then it what they call runs with the land and then is enforceable through that. Absent that, it's just an agreement, but it's still something, seek good legal advice. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there's just a couple comments I'd like to make. Dave, I appreciated your vote of thank you. And I noted with interest your comments about the buffering to the north. It's really unfortunate that many years before 1992, there were some changes on the buffering to the south. And at one point in time, that area, and I wasn't on the Zoning Commission at that time, but I was a neighbor. That area was zoned differently for multifamily residential, which was served as a buffer. And that was changed, and it was a really interesting lesson for me as a citizen and as a resident, and probably piqued my interest in being part of the Zoning Commission, because I think that type of residential buffering would have been much more appropriate there than what we have now. But that's a long time ago, before probably anybody in this room was involved with the city planning. So I appreciate your thanks. I'm sorry that at the time, the commission didn't look at that a little bit differently. You also made a comment about public safety and crime, and I understand why you would raise that concern because of the activities to the east, but I think Mark has a pretty stellar track record in our community for the businesses and the developments that he brings to us, and I would have a lot of confidence in his wisdom and pride in his business to know that he's going to respect your neighborhood and you as a neighbor and do everything he can to make sure that we have another business that we're all proud of as part of Bettendorf to be in that area. I think that's all. I just wanted to
appreciate the additional comment. And actually, at the time, you made reference to name calling. Just for the record, we were referred to as a pack of morons. Newspaper at that time by Mr. David Lundy, who didn't appreciate our direction. So
thank you for not repeating that. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. And for the record, we are not a pack of morons. So, yeah. But I do appreciate the comments from everyone. And that being said, if there's a point now where we could reach a decision, I would be happy to entertain that.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we will approve case 14-077, subject to staff recommendations.
I second.
Okay, it's been motioned and second that we approve case 14-077, subject to staff recommendation. Wait, I got the wrong one? Yeah.
You got it.
Got it, okay. Yeah, sorry. 14-07, getting late, 77, subject to staff recommendations and the content of the discussions tonight as well. That will be incorporated. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, just before we go, I would like to just say that I will vote against this motion.
Okay.
I think we can do better. I think there are a number of opportunities where we can improve this site plan along the lines I mentioned before. I also am concerned about the intensity of this use in close proximity to these homes. And for those two reasons, I will vote against this motion.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Do we have a second?
Yeah, you have a second.
Okay, sorry. Getting late. We have a motion and a second to approve case 14-07. Thank you. Subject to staff recommendations, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Phil.
Get ready for my commission update tonight.
Is that all you brought?
Just kidding. Subsequent to your last meeting, the rezoning of Outlots 1 and 2 Maslin subdivision from A2 to A1, we had the public hearing and first reading for the council, and that was passed at that point. We did have our consultants for our comprehensive plan in town last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so that I think a lot of good progress was made. I have suggested that on Monday, October 27th at 5 o'clock, we give an update to the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council jointly. So if you can kind of put that on your calendar.
What was the date again,
I think that'll
Bill?
Be an important chance for...
What's the date again?
That would be Monday, October 27th, the last Monday in October. And that's also when the consultants will be in town over a three-day period to do the downtown design program. So, and our streetscape committee is scheduled to meet, what day, Lisa? Okay, so we got all kinds of planning stuff going on.
What does he want us to do?
That's it, Mr.
That was very brief. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for enduring through that long meeting. A lot of good stuff to cover. We are adjourned.